Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, if you got your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, if you didn't bring a Bible today, that's okay. They're going to put it on the big Bible up behind me. And Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 42. And this is what it says. And those who believed what Peter said, Peter's preaching about Jesus, were baptized and added to the church that day. 3,000 people. You think we were freaking out with 732 people. They had 3,000 people were added to the church that day. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals and to prayer. I want to read one more scripture to you here just to kind of tag on there. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And it says this, "That's plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name as Christian as anybody. God is building a home, and he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here." I just want to pause there for a minute. Isn't that good news? It don't matter how we got here today, what's in our past, what mistakes we've had. God's using us all to build a house, and he's all using us all in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundations. He's now using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day by day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple which God is quite at home with. That's good news today, man. You're a part of God's family. This is your house that God is building. And today I want to talk to you from this topic, or this thought: the crew is greater than the crowd. The crew is greater than the crowd. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to be in your house today. We pray you'd speak to us, God, that you would challenge us to move forward in our faith journey, that we would take a next step today, that we would get more involved in what you're doing right here at My City Church. Lord, we pray that we would leave here differently than we came in, Lord God. And we thank you that the last 2 weeks you've heard our prayer for our Huskers. And you answered last night with a mighty victory in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you love Jesus, put your hands together for him. Come on. Come on. Oh, man, man, man. Anyway, hey, I got a question for you today. How many of you love college football? Like all three of you. I know there's more of you out there than that. Like, the city pretty much shuts down when college football's on, okay? So I think we all kind of love college football. And I grew up in Arizona. College football's not that big of a deal, okay? Because we have professional sports. And so college football, kind of, there's some fans. But basically college football in Arizona is a bunch of drunk people getting together, and it's wild in the stadium, okay? Like, I remember my first Husker game, I came here, and they had people telling me, oh, there's 100 billion, gajillion fans, and it's sold out. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be like Riot City. You know, like, people are going to be pandemonium. And then I got to the stadium, and then I'm sitting between two very, very large gentlemen. Everybody's been in that stadium, right? And you're like, you know, it was cold that day, and so I was a little thankful they were big and burly. And so I was sitting in the stadium, and there's a guy in front of me who's probably 75 years old. He's got a headset on, like a radio headset, right? Like, he's listening to the game on his headset. He has a miniature TV and binoculars. I'm like, this is not the college football that I'm used to, man. Like, these fans are on a whole nother level. Like, I don't even know what is going on right now. And so, man, I love college football. But I remember right after I got saved, I was still a little rowdy. And me and a bunch of my friends, we went to a U of A game or a University of Arizona game, okay? Now, we all know this. When you go to a stadium, it doesn't matter what stadium is, every stadium has chants. Come on, you know what I mean? Like, the go-to chants, okay? And at the University of Arizona, basically, usually, it'll start on one side, and they go, you, and then, of, a, hey, it's not like the College World Series where they're like, hey, right field, you suck. That's called, I don't have any team loyalty and I'm just here to party. And so at the U of A, they do this whole thing, U of A. And I remember this, we've never really been good football players in Arizona at the University of Arizona. And so this year, I mean, we were at this game and we are getting demolished, okay? It's like 40, we're down by like 40 points. And basically the student section is just, you know, disgruntled. And we're sitting right in front of the student section. I got like 10 dudes with me. And I'm like, I've always been kind of like this. And I'm like, let's get the crowd going. And people are like, what are you doing? We're getting demolished. I'm like, let's get it going. And so I'm like, I get my buddies. I'm like, let's do this. Let's get the crowd going. And they're like, what do you want to do? I'm like, let's pull off our shirts. Like, I don't know why that made sense at the moment, but it just sounded like a good idea. And so we pulled off our shirts and we stood up and we're like, come on, get into it. We're like, you. People are like, shut up. And I'm like, no, come on, get up on your feet, yo. And then finally, like, one guy's like, yeah. You know, like, so you get, like, one guy involved, you know what I mean? And he's like, yo. And people are like, finally, a few more pretty soon, we got the student section going, man. They're like, yo. And the rest of the stadium is like, yo. And then finally, we got, like, on the other one, and I'm like, nobody's even caring about the game at this point. We're just trying to get the people going, you know? And so it finally, you, and then of, and then by the time the of really kicked in, dude, I'm telling you, the other stadium, side of the stadium, they were ready, people. They were ready. And A, and so the whole stadium is just going bonkers. In the middle of this game, we're getting crushed. Nobody knows what's going on. And I'm just like, we did it! Like, I didn't even care about the game. I was just so pumped. Like, it is amazing to me what a few dudes with their shirts off can do. It's amazing, you know? I got to thinking about that story, and you know what I think is like, the crowd is, it's fickle. The crowd, like, if it's a good day, everybody's having a good day. If it's a bad day, everybody's having a good day. Oh, man, I showed up on launch Sunday. It was a party, so fun. I had a bad Saturday night. I ain't getting up and going to church today. Come on, somebody. I'm singing to the choir. All of you are here right now. But the reality is, man, I just seen this everywhere I go, man. The crowd, it's all about the moment. It's all about the inspiration in the air. It's all about the vibe. But a crew of people can always move a crowd. That's what I love about My City Church is that, man, we want to always draw crowds. Like, I'm not down on the crowd. I'm not down on having crowds around. I'm not against having packed houses and all the kind. I think we should have crowds all the time. Jesus had crowds all the time. But Jesus understood this, that the crew is always greater than the crowd. And not only that, but the crew will always move the crowd. So today, what we got to understand is that what builds a great church, what actually causes a church to be impactful to your life, isn't being a part of the crowd. It's becoming a part of the crew. Let me put it to you like this. When a crowd becomes a crew, it creates a community where revival can be present. Let me say that again. When the crowd becomes a crew, it creates a community where revival can be present. I just believe this today, that opening scripture in Ephesians is God's love note to you, saying, you know what? You don't have to stand on the outside of the crowd. No. This is your home country. This is where you belong. This is a place where you can make a difference in somebody's life, where you can leave an imprint that says, you know what? I wasn't just a part of the crowd. No. I became a part of the crew. Because why? When a crowd turns into a crew, it creates a community where revival continue to move. Come on, if you believe that today, give me a good amen. I love our opening passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2 because this is the story that the early church was going through. This chapter is the birth of the early church, man. You know what I love about it is when you're building church and you're depending on God, you are always going to have problems. Like, I promised you, like, if you want a neat, tidy church where it's not uncomfortable and it's not packed and all that, can I just tell you, you're probably in a church that's, like, kind of dead. Like, when God's on the move, there's always going to be problems. There's never going to be enough seats. There's going to be, we've got too many people and kids. Like, praise God. Like, I'm so pumped about this. But God has given us a strategic formula on how to continue to let God move, on how to continue to grow the church. And in Acts chapter 2, this is what begins to unfold. The Apostle Peter, a little context in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Peter is stood up on the day of Pentecost, okay? They've been away praying, kind of feels like our launch team. And they've been away praying, they've been ready, and they go out, and the Spirit of God begins to move on people, and Peter stands up and preaches this bold, declarative message that Jesus came to save people from their sins, okay? And the Bible says that 3,000 people that day said yes to Jesus. So, here's the picture. 120 people started this thing in an upper room praying. In a day, they have 3,000 people. That's a problem. Like, what do we do with these people? Like, how do we disciple them? How do we grow them? How do we move them further along in their faith journey? How do we continue to make an impact in their lives? And this simple formula is laid out in Acts chapter 2 that I think if we follow as a church, if we just live and lead by the Bible, we will find that whatever God is doing, God will continue to do. And I don't know about you, but I never want to be a barrier to what God could do in my city. I never want to be a barrier to what God can do in my church. God has given us these things that we are called to be a part of. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this is what it says. All the believers, say all. That's a good word. You know what all means in the original Greek language? All. So just in case you were confused on that, you were like, man, I need a Bible dictionary. All, this means all of us, okay? All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the sharing in meals, and to prayer. I love this because it opens up and it says all the believers devoted themselves. All the believers devoted themselves. You know what I found in my own personal world is that it's one thing to show up to something. It's a totally different thing to be devoted to something. See, the crowd will always show up. The crew is devoted. The crew shows up whether they feel like it or not. The crew says, what I'm a part of is bigger than the part I play. The crew says, you know what? I'm always going to be present because I understand my presence is based on a commitment choice rather than an emotional choice that I had in a moment. Let me put it to you this way. Commitment is not measured in a moment. It's measured in a lifestyle. So you got these disciples. They've come into the kingdom of God. There's 3,000 of them. And immediately, there was something so tangible in the air where they said, you know what? I'm never going to stop being a part of this. And they begin to immediately devote themselves to the things that mattered most. See, I love that. They weren't about just the moment. They were about changing their lifestyle. And I've just found, man, like that if we're going to be the kind of church God wants us to be, we're going to have to be devoted to some things. We're gonna have great moments in church. I promise you, I believe this with all my heart. This is just going to continue and continue. I'm thinking we're going to need a 5 o'clock pretty soon, and then we're going to need probably a 7 o'clock, and then a 1 o'clock, and then I'm just going to fall over of exhaustion. And we're going to get a bigger building. We're going to do more of these locations. Like, the sky is the limit. But here's what I know is man, I don't ever want to be a pastor who just raises up a moment. Moments. Oh, woo, that was cool. Woo, that was cool. Coming, going, whatever. I want to raise up followers. Let me put it to you like this. Don't be a fan. Be a follower. And I'm not talking about following My City Church, although I think that is a key component in your world to grow in your faith. But what I'm saying is that this, what has begun in your life is about Jesus. It started with Jesus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. So each one of us want to be people that move from being a fan or a part of the crowd to being a follower, which means, hey, Jesus, how are you leading me? What are you calling me to be devoted to? I see this all the time in church. People come in and it just I don't want to be overly sarcastic, but I hear this all the time. I'm just not getting fed anymore. You know, they'll tell the pastor that. And I'm like, well, did you make a meal? Did you go to eat? Or so you wanted me to do all the heavy lifting that your devotion is supposed to happen in your relationship with God. See, listen, what we are a part of here, that's how, the difference between a fan and a follower. See, a follower comes and they go, hey, I'm coming to church. If it felt, worship was a little bit better last week. Like, worship was, the message was a little bit better last week. And over time, listen, that's how the crowd works. That's how, but followers say, you know what? I got up this morning and prayed on my own. I got my own relationship with God. I got a Bible. I'm going to open it up. You know what? It's amazing when self-developers, self-feeders begin to rise up. Can I tell you, a church can take risks. A church can move forward. A church can take on new believers. Why? Because there's a foundation of followers to stand upon. And so the question is today, like, hey, like, do we want to be a part of the crowd or do we want to be a part of the crew? I don't know about you today, but I want to be a part of the crew. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I truly want to make a difference. And so once they devoted them, just look at the things that they actually devoted themselves to. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, I think it's pivotal that we understand exactly what that means. The New Testament church didn't have the Bible that me and you have today. Okay, like they didn't have like the nice King James with their name engraved on it in gold. They didn't have any of that, okay? Basically, what they had was they had a firsthand account of the apostles who had spent time with Jesus, had walked with Jesus, had been developed by Jesus, and had experienced the ministry of Jesus. So the apostles would write, which is basically now our New Testament, the Bibles that Paul, or the books of the Bible that Paul wrote, that Peter wrote, that James wrote. These are all the apostles, okay, that now have become our teachings. But I want to take a little bit of a sideline here that I think is important to understand. Then in the early church, in order for there to be apostles' teachings, what did that actually mean at this stage in the church? There was an apostle present. Okay, so just follow along with me here just a little bit, because this is so important when we're talking about crews here at My City Church. Okay, listen, the apostle was present, so not only was it God's word to us, but it was what God was speaking to us now. Can I tell you, like, listen, studying the Bible is great, but knowing how it applies to your community is even better. Let me say it again. Studying the Bible is great. Knowing how it applies to your community is even better. So here's the picture, okay? There is a man who has spent time with Jesus. He was an apostle. Let's use the apostle Paul. He stands up and he begins to teach the believers. The Bible has two words for the word of God. There's two words. It's called logos, which is what God has said, or the written word of God, okay? And then there is rhema, which is what God is saying to you right now. It's what brings the word of what he has said alive in your life. So great community isn't just about studying what has been said. Although hear my heart. Studying the Bible is one of the most foundational things that you can do for your life. Okay? But studying the Bible in the context of community is even better. Because what ends up happening is that the church is a living, breathing organism, okay? Which means God is speaking something to My City Church right now. Like, there's a thing in the air. There's something that God is speaking to you right now. And here's what I found is that, man, studying the Bible isn't about learning. It's about application. Hear me, like, studying the Bible isn't about the retention of more information or just simply gathering more thoughts. In fact, I would venture to say sometimes the more learning that you get about the Bible without active application, the more destructive it becomes to your spirit, okay? Because why? Now you are a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways, that the things that you know you ought to do but you don't apply to your life, that will ruin your faith journey, okay? Because then we become a religious person that becomes critical of other people rather than a person who takes the word and readily applies it to their life and gets involved in the journey. Why? Because I'm a part of the crew. I'm not a part of the crowd. So at My City Church, in our crews are always going to be based on what God is speaking to us right now as a church. Like, there's a lot of different things that we could study, and we'll have different things available for that. But the whole idea of crews, or our small group ministry, is a group of people who've come to the weekend. Now they're sitting around the dinner table, and they're sharing a meal, and they're talking about what? What is God saying to us? Which actually could be translated in, what God said this weekend, how do I apply it to my life? Because why? It's not about learning. It's about application. It's about application. See, I want to be people who take the teachings of the Word of God and literally begin to apply them to my life day in and day out. And that's what a crew is about. A crew is about you learning. Some of you, like, I don't read the Bible at all. I have no context for the Bible. That's okay. Get in a crew. That's what crews are all about. It's a safe place for you to get on the journey and to begin to grow in your faith, okay? I always say this to people all the time in the context of really trying to understand what a crew is all about. Learning has to do with information. Application has to do with your context. So let me get this for you. I feel like there's two levels of personal growth that happens in a person's life, okay? It's first what God is saying to me and how does it apply to my life personally. But then how do I take what God is speaking to me and then help others discover it? I think it's only when we get inside the context of a community that we can even really live out the Bible. I don't think we can actually be Christ followers. I don't think we can actually live out what the Bible says unless we do it in the context of community. Because there's certain parts of the Bible that you can't even walk out unless you have believers around you, people that you're doing the journey with around you. And man, like, I just love that. And that's the kind of culture we want to build here at My City Church, is that we don't want to just come to church and just listen and get a little motivated and be a part of the crowd. No, we want to hear what God's saying. And man, I want to get after loving people. I want to apply it to my life. I want to be a part of the crew. But then they said that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Fellowship, which basically means Christian word for eating a lot. Come on. Let's bring back the potluck, people, you know? I don't know what that means. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship. So they were devoted to what God was saying to them, but then they were devoted to hanging out together. Like, it's just crazy to me. Like, I was literally the other day, I was sitting down with a young man, and we were talking about church. He's really gifted, really talented individual. And I said, hey, man, have you ever thought about, like, using your gifts in the house of God? And he's a creative. And he goes, nobody's ever told me I could do that. And I said, yes, here you can. Like, we'll put your gifts to use and let you, like, flourish. But then not only that, I looked at him and I just simply said, hey, me and your wife should go hang out sometime. And he looked at me and he goes, I've been in church my whole life. I've never had a pastor ask me to go to dinner. He's like, is it weird? I'm like, yes, you actually have to come in a suit and tie. And at least an hour of praying and fasting before you sit down with me. But that's the world we live in. We've put pastors on pedestals. We've shown up to church to get information. And we wonder why it's not fulfilling what God has designed us to be. Listen. Don't put me on a pedestal. Like, I'm your pastor. I'm your leader. I'm gonna lead and guide you the best way I know how. But listen, if you're expecting me to help you grow, you're not going to grow that way. But if you begin to look around to each person around you and say, you know what? I'd like to be your friend. Let's get coffee. I just promise you, like, let's just stop right there. What would happen today if you just got somebody's number today in this service and just said, hey, let's go to coffee? What if I don't like him? What if you don't? Don't talk to him anymore. Take a risk. Put yourself out there, man. At some point, you got to be devoted to fellowship. And the reality is that fellowship never happens on accident. Fellowship always requires a level of an intentionality. I don't care how much you love the person. I love my wife so much that we made a baby. And I love her so much, you know, like, we love each other all, like, so much. But if we are not intentional in our relationship about our fellowship, it won't happen. It won't happen. It'll drift. How much more when you're coming to church and you don't know people like I know my wife, how much more do you think you have to be intentional? I always say this, man, being in fellowship is about a group of fellows or ladies being on the same ship together. Have you ever been on a ship? Anybody ever been on a cruise in here? You cruise? Anybody get sick? No? Okay. It's crazy. When you're on cruise, even if you don't like people, you're going to meet somebody. You can't help it. Like, you get on that boat, and, like, there's only so long you can sit around the dinner table, and somebody's, you know, glass falls off the thing and breaks on the floor four nights in a row, and you know, before you start to get to know each other. Basically, what it's saying is fellowship is about connection. It's about being in proximity with one another. It's about opening yourself up and getting involved in a crew. I love that. They were devoted to fellowship. And then here's one of the things that I really want to spend just a little bit of a moment here on that is important to me as the lead pastor of My City Church. The Bible says that they were devoted to the sharing of meals. And a lot of translations that you will get into in the Bible will have like a set of parentheses. And people didn't know how to apply the sharing of meals to modern day church context. So as translations have continued to happen, they've put parentheses and the Lord's Supper. The original context, I think, is denoted to the Lord's Supper, but they didn't do communion the way we did. There was no wafers back then, guys. There was no wafers and a pilly thing, and this is not how it worked. They actually physically sat around a dinner table and prepared a meal together, gave thanksgiving to God, and celebrated together. I just think there's something significant, man, when people come together and they share a meal. Like, you sit around a table, you laugh. Even if you don't like it, like, I got food, I'm good. Like, that's what I always say. And so, like, at My City Church, our crews, our small groups, they always launch at a restaurant. And we kind of leave it open-ended to the crew leader. If they want to, eventually, if the crew wants to move to somebody's house, and that's awesome. We totally allow that. But the reason we start in a restaurant is because, number one, showing up to somebody's house that you don't know for the first time can be a little intimidating. I feel like, you know, I'm probably not going to show up at your house unless I spend at least 10 days creeping on your Facebook. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, you're like, yeah, before I came to this church, I like, spent a whole lot of time looking at it. So we want to create a culture and community where people can come. They can sit down. It's at ease. I just feel like this. Like, why not show up at a crew? Like, if you show up and you look over there and the people seem weird, just sit down and eat dinner. They won't even know you were there. No big deal. But the more importantly, the reason we do it in a restaurant to kind of start with is because we want it to be a staple around our community that, hey, if somebody shows up, well, what if people can't afford it? Well, it's a shared meal. You can have some of mine. I'll buy you an appetizer. You like mozzarella sticks? I love mozzarella sticks. I just think there's something special when people are able to sit down, and it's not just a group of people listening to one person talk, but a group of people able to sit down and laugh together and share pain together and stories together and a little food together, and by the end of the night, share a little prayer together. I just think that when a church begins to understand that, man, coming to church on Sundays is awesome, but being a part of a crew is even better. Because now, when I'm going through it, like, here's what I found is that what ends up happening to people when they only come to church as a part of the crowd, life happens to us, whether we want it to or not. Like, life is full of valleys and mountaintops. I always tell people this. If you're on a mountaintop, just give it a little bit of time. You'll probably come down. If you're in a valley, just give it a little bit of time. You're probably going to come up. Life is full of ups and downs, and we need people in our world that when we're in a low point, we've got somebody that knows us by name, that's been doing life with us, that we can look across from a meal and say, you know what? We're going through a hard time right now in our marriage. We're going through a hard time in our life. And let me tell you, there will be nothing more pivotal and significant in your Christian journey than, I believe, than moving from the crowd to getting a part of a crew. And we've got crews for all age groups and you know, young, old, We got a lot of young people at our church, and really, it's not that we have a lot of young people; it's that we actually have young people. Just let that sit in for a moment. Got a lot of churches, you know. Anyway, it is a little apprehensive of people, but we got crews of all age groups and age ranges, and we'd love for you to get connected in one because we believe this: that true, what keeps revival going is when a crew, or when a crowd turns into a crew that creates a community that revival can stay alive in, that it can be present in. So today on your seats, there's crew cards, and we'd love for you just to fill it out. Like, fill it out. Somebody will get in contact with you. If it doesn't end up working out, I promise to you, we'll work with you. But we would love for you to take a next step and move from the crowd to becoming a part of a crew. And our great team will be contacting people, helping you find one that fits you really, really well. There's plenty of places to belong. And so I just want to, even just right now, I'm just going to give everybody just a minute. You can take a minute and fill it out. And no pressure. If you're not ready to take a next step, that's okay. Here's what I would say to you is just keep on showing up to church. Just keep on showing up to church. But for a lot of us, man, what we would love to see happen is for you to become a part of one of our crews that meet in restaurants. We get together. We talk about what God's speaking to us inside the context of our church. We do community well. We laugh together. We celebrate together. And we pray together. And as you're filling that out, that was ultimately where they landed. The Bible said that they devoted themselves to prayer. And I want our church to be a praying church, which doesn't mean that we gotta hold like prayer meetings all night and all. We don't have to do all that. We may, who knows? What I'm saying is I want to be people that pray for one another, that we take others' needs seriously. We actually pray for one another. And I just think this was the early church, that it was never like, oh, you're going through a hard time, praying for you. Come on, everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's like, I don't know how to finish this conversation, so praying for you. But that we actually look at one another and we say, hey, in this community, in our church, we are going to pray for one another.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.